Well, God bless you all, and it really blessed me actually, Millie, what you were sharing, because I knew when I was little that I was Methodist, of all things. My parents never ever went to church, but the local church for them was the Methodist church, so I, even though they didn't go to church, they had me christened there. So whenever I was asked, my mum used to say, when you write down on forms, you say that you're a Methodist. So that's what I used to put down. But you know, I share it over and over and over, and there are many religions, many, but there's just one God. And when I first got together with Lawrence, you know, I had so many questions, because obviously I knew nothing. I knew that I was christened, that I was dedicated to God when I was a baby, and that meant something to me. But as of knowing God and who God was, I really knew very, very little. I knew there was a God. I knew about Jesus Christ. I knew that there was an adversary, and anything in between all that, I really didn't know. And so meeting Lawrence, and Lawrence, he was Pentecostal. So we went to our first Pentecostal church, and I was terrified because they were almost practically doing cartwheels down the aisles, and they were so loud and so enthusiastic. They really were. Their love for God was phenomenal. But it scared me, because I said to him, I can't do cartwheels down the aisle. And, you know, and there was a lady there that gave me my first Bible. And, you know, I think they were so glad to see someone new that they were so enthusiastic to want us to keep coming back. And I really did enjoy the fellowship there. I just wasn't, I didn't believe I was in the right place because it was so loud, and you know. And then we went to another spiritualist church, and this lady was up, she'd come from Australia, and don't forget, we're in search of God here. And so, like, we were going around all these different places and not knowing, not that we weren't knowing anything, but nobody seemed to have any answers. So my question was, if there is a God, why do the children get hurt? If there's a God, why is there so much poverty? You know, why is there so much evil? And all these questions, and like, is God, is it God and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Or is it God, is it Jesus Christ, and then you have a spirit? Is it, and to be real honest, I don't think many of these churches could answer any of my questions. And they just kept saying, well, you just have to have faith. Well, I'm not as smart as you, Molly, but I had questions, and I like to get my questions answered. And when people try to fob me off, it doesn't sit right. You know, I'm thinking, if you're the pastor of this church or the priest of this church or whatever, you should have the answers. If I ask a question, you should be able to, like, if you ask me anything about your hair, I could tell you. I was a hairdresser. I did all the degrees and everything else. I know how it works. So I was thinking that they should know the same thing, and very little did they know. And if they did, they contradicted the other churches. So we continued. I think we went to about eight different religions. And then finally, we met Brendan McCann. And he said, Kim, you have way too many questions for me to answer. But he said, there's this class, and if you take this class, write all your questions down, take this class, and at the end of it, if you still have questions, I will answer them for you to the best of my God-given ability. So I took the class, and you know, every one of my questions was answered, and I really, really found out about God, that He's a loving God, that it's not because of Him, of all these things that go on in the world, but that He was so loving that He gave people a free will choice. He doesn't possess people, He just genuinely loves people. So then, if He doesn't possess people, then that means that the adversary does. And we know the adversary comes in on thoughts and rides on waves of people that don't have faith or don't believe, people that talk negatively, you know, he loves all that stuff. So then, when I continue to fellowship and all my questions was answered, I knew that the adversary was the God of this world. I knew that he thrived on disasters and killings and murders and death and, you know, children being hurt. And then I realized that, you know, it's not, for me, it wasn't God that was doing these things. It was people. People were doing these things. And that God intervenes when we pray, but he doesn't possess somebody's free will. So if somebody wants to go out and murder, he's not going to stop them. But there again, if that murderer decides that he's going to get born again, God will forgive. And that's how loving God is. You know, people make mistakes, people you know, we don't know those buildings. People are saying now that they, you know, they were not made up to code. People tried to save money. You know, a lot of those buildings could still be standing if they adhered to the proper plans and didn't cut corners to save money. So again, it just shows you that it is a dog-eat-dog world. That people will literally climb over the back of someone to save themselves or to promote themselves or to make themselves richer. But ignoring all that, knowing what God has done in my life since the day I got born again, you know, when I was diagnosed with the cancer and given 3 months to live, I had a free will choice. I could believe what the doctors were saying, or I could believe what God was saying. And so when we work with people, because I know you're there for a purpose, Molly. You know, yes, they are your brothers and sisters. You go there, you fellowship. And it must really hurt your heart that some of them are quite negative, being that you've come and met us and you all we share are positives and that we're all light-hearted and we really do have great faith. But, you know, maybe God's got you there so that you can share all that with them, that they can come to a full knowledge of the truth. It's not that we're making them relinquish their faith. God would never want them to do that. Never, ever. But that they can go to him. You know, that they don't have to listen to, is it the priest, or that they have full access to God. They can go to him. They can ask him. You know, they can have great faith. They can pray and see those prayers come to pass. But that also, that if they do have questions, that you can ask God to give you the answers, to give them, to comfort their hearts. You know, because people are really hurting out there. You know, they're seeing all these terrible things going on, and they're, like you said, well, if there's a God, why do these things happen? Why can't God intervene? Well, God can't intervene because he set it up that they had free will choice. People have a free will choice. So, you know, when we really want to have that full access to God, it comes with us having great faith. We have to have faith to do that. You know, it's no good us just saying, well, okay, I'll trust you, God. You give him a prayer, and then because that's not answered right that second, oh, well, then I'll go somewhere else. But that you build a relationship with him. It's not that you're building a relationship with the pastor or anyone else of the church. You build your relationship with God first. You know, if that pastor left or somebody else left, the people would be lost. They'd be wandering aimlessly. Oh, who's going to be the new one? Well, God never leaves them. God's always there. So by them having that access to God, they can ask him anything, and he will reveal it to them. Like Lawrence shared about Job. You know, that story blew me away. But also about Noah. You know, I always say it, Noah, that story of Noah totally blew me away. We drove to London a couple of weekends ago, and we drove past, it's like, I think it's an eighth of the size of the actual Ark, and they've done like a replica as you drive into London. And just driving past that, and then realising that the real one was like eight times that size, blows my mind. I know why Lawrence wasn't Noah, because I'm waiting for a cupboard to be put up on the wall. And he's walked past it for the last 24 hours, so my son's coming up in the morning to do it. You know, I know that God couldn't have trusted Lawrence to build the ark, for definite. And if he did, we'd probably all sank as soon as the floods come. But, you know, so God has us all in a place, at a time that is prominent for him, but also a blessing to us. You know, I was delivered from the cancer, and then the adversary tried to attack again with my spine. You know, and the tumour and the discs had been pushed backwards, and it was severing my spinal cord. And the doctor, you know, he said, I'm going to operate, but I don't hold much chance of you ever walking again. And when I walked into his office 6 weeks after I'd had the operation...
Major operation.
Yeah, it was a major operation. But he cried. The surgeon, the consultant, cried because he really wasn't convinced that I would be walking, and I was. And so again, I believe that God intervened because I asked him to. You know, Lawrence never, ever talked one negative when I had those two major things going on in my life. Everything he spoke was positive. And if anybody tried to speak a negative against it, he would tell them to shut up or to leave the house, because he didn't want my faith hindered. And that, you know, certain parts, we could have gone the other way. I could have listened to the doctors. I could have gone ahead and had the radiotherapy. And I truly believe I wouldn't be here today. So again, life is about choices and making the best choice. And usually the best choice is always with God, always. But it's making that choice. You know, do we believe God, or do we believe what the consultant, you know, the gynecologist consultant, which is, he's like an avid in his own field of gynecology. He knew what he was talking about. Did we believe what he said, that I had 3 months and if I had the radiotherapy I could probably prolong my life for six? Or do we believe God that I was ill but not unto death? And so, you know, when we get to these really radical points in our lives where major things are happening, we have a choice. God didn't violate my free will. He gave us a choice. And so I chose to listen to God. Well, Lawrence chose to listen to God, and I followed Lawrence at that time. And so the outcome was that I'm still here today. You know, and I pray to God, God, don't let me die. Like, my kids, what will my kids do without me? And my relationship with Danny was second to none. I mean, he was always permanently attached to me. Whether he was holding my trouser leg, whether we were sat playing the computer together, he was just like my best buddy, really. And so all these thoughts go racing through your mind, like, how will he cope without his mum? Or how's Lawrence going to take care of the kids? He can't even cook. You know, he wouldn't even know how to work the washing machine or switch the Hoover on, or he wouldn't know where their clothes were for school. And all these thoughts go through your mind. And then you realize that then I just have to take a stand. I have to fight this. But again, you have free will choice. Some people give up. Some people can't hang on in there. And others, they do have that strength and they do pull through. So, you know, God's never ever made a failure. It's just that some people are fully persuaded that God is able and they push through it. And others aren't fully persuaded and they give up. And it's like that with anything in life. You know, you see the Indians, the trials, the tribulations and everything that those guys go through on a daily basis. You know, some kids might have to walk 3 miles to get water. They live in cow pack houses. They don't have electricity. And they still push. They still push. They still fight day after day after day. And they're all coming to the full knowledge of God and seeing how life with God is so much better, that when they go to Him, He comes, He hears them and He answers their prayers. And now they're ditching these cowpack houses and they're building brick houses, and they've not walking miles to get water. You know, they're having running water in their little houses, and they've got electricity and things that God is doing for them. But again, they had to make a choice. You know, do we continue to live in poverty, or do we start to live this life of abundance that God's made available? And so it's the same for all of us. We may not live like that, but we still have trials and tribulations in our lives. And it's very sad for the people that were lost in Turkey and Syria. And, you know, but again, our focus has to be on us and what we're doing with God and how we're making a difference in our areas. You know, letting people know the truth, because it's the truth that will truly set them free. That, yes, those things happen. You know, people die. It's not that God can intervene and save everybody, but that, yes, you're right, He does have a master plan. And, you know, the part that we play right now is that we pray for that one key laborer, that we can just reach someone with that truth, and that that truth will set them free, and then they'll reach another one. And that's the only way. You know, we were talking on Monday about 2,000 years ago, they didn't have internet, didn't have mobile phones, and yet the word still moved all over the world. They were on donkeys, they were walking, and the word still moved. And so with the great technology that we have today, and we're still struggling, guys, we're still struggling, there's something wrong, we're still struggling to get that truth out there. Why? Because there's an adversary, and he doesn't want the truth out there. So we have to take a stand and say, well, greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world, and I will be strong. I will have confidence to speak the truth. And I will, with God's grace, set those captives free. Because they're captives. They're encased with the adversaries, systems of the world, and people are just dwelling in it and not realizing. So, you know, we got to be strong in these day and times, and we got to really let people know how good God is, you know, and that His love supersedes anything we could ever imagine. And if we just love one another, even that can make a difference. So that wasn't what I was going to share, but anyway, I did. So I want to finish off, actually, if I can, very quickly. I shared on Monday about the SAS and, you know, these elite soldiers that go to war on a physical, you know, they're at their peak physically, and they do a physical war. Well, we're at our peak spiritually because we are in a spiritual war, you know, and God has given us every enablement to really go to war with that devil. You know, He's given us our backpack fully contained with 9 manifestations, you know, which is our spiritual weapons, you know. And if we really do try and use all 9 every day, big things are going to happen. You know, you speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, miracles, healings, and discerning of spirits. You know, we know when something's not right, and when it's not right, we speak the truth. And it's like, you know, when we're walking in that spiritual battle, we're on fire. Bless your hearts.